Okay, guys, we're going to go right back to Genesis chapter 3, and with the Lord's help, we'll make some more progress today, okay? But this chapter is fundamental. It's a basic chapter. When we first read in Genesis chapter 1, we found that after that creation, God pronounced everything good. Everything was very good. Something has happened. Something has come into the world. And Genesis 3 begins to now give us the explanation of what God had made that was very good. And now we see problems, chaos, corruption, pain, suffering, disease, sin, evil, wickedness, all over. How did it happen? And here we have God's Word and the importance of God's Word and how God's Word and God's Word alone is the truth, and ultimately that truth, which is God's Word, wasn't just left in a book or written on paper. That very expression of God is a person. That person in the New Testament is called the Word of God. And that Word of God became human, became flesh, and came into the world, the living Word, in order to fulfill the written Word and seal the written Word as God's truth, unbreakable, that will always triumph, that will never fail, by which men can be saved, by which we can be instructed, by which we can live life in reality, not in a make-believe world of our own thinking or imagination. And when human beings come to the point, and we remembered yesterday that the first act of Satan was to attack the Word of God. Hath God said? Hath God spoken? And the answer is, thank God he has spoken. And he has spoken not only in word, he has spoken in himself, become human and come into our world to live out that word, and that word would triumph and be settled forever. All the horror of what happens to the human personality when it gives up faith in God's word. And now, instead of relying on God and God's truth and God's revelation of himself and his truth, that human mind, that creature, sees himself as sufficient and able to by himself interpret the universe and come by his own deductions and his own mind and his own reasonings and his own interpretations to what the truth is. All the danger of it. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, one of the emphasis that the scripture makes is that when human beings give up the Word of God, and by giving up the Word of God, in a sense, what you're giving up on is God, and you fail to give God that place that belongs to him alone, that he is, and he only is God, and he only was there before the beginning of anything. And so he and he alone is the one that can reveal and instruct his creatures with regard to what the truth is. And when human beings give up that belief, they plunge themselves into ever-increasing darkness. And what to them becomes truth is a man-made lie. And it ends in destruction. And the worst thing that can ever happen to a human being is for God to stop striving in your mind, striving in your heart, striving in your thinking, and to give you up to yourself because you've chosen yourself. And in choosing yourself persistently, in spite of all the evidence around you, you get trapped into that lie that to you is true. And ultimately, persist in that deliberately, and there comes a point of no return. And there comes a point where God himself says, have it your way. Like he did in that ancient world with the flood. You don't want spirit. You don't want my word. You don't want me. You just want you. You just want your flesh. You just want the satisfaction of your hunger. You just want the satisfaction of what you see is beautiful. You want to have that pride of life and knowledge. Well, have it your way. And the horror of the world drowned, and God giving man what man had chosen, and flesh rotting, corrupting, exposed for what it is. This is God. This is truth. Oh God, help us to fight that battle of never giving up the fact that only God is God and only his word, not only is truth, but it's the only word that can be trusted. And when we give up faith in him and his word, we plunge ourselves into a path that unless it's broken through faith in Jesus Christ, will bring every human being to their destruction. Their destruction, the result of going their own way. Oh, what a solemn scripture that is when it says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is, who knows the answer? Death. Death. The horror of it. And so here's the serpent, and his first attack was on God's word. Has God said? And then you'll notice how he twists that word of God. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Has he said that? And the first and great mistake that she made, as we saw yesterday, was she allowed herself to be engaged by that enemy. And she allowed herself to question the truth of God's word. She knew it. God said, don't eat of it. She added to it. And instead of going back to that word and what that word said, all of a sudden, she allowed herself to become engaged. And the serpent said unto the woman, you will not die. And so you'll notice, Satan uses scripture. I want to say something which might sound controversial, and it's this. There is more of what calls itself Christian in this world that is not Christian than is Christian. I want to say that again. Think about this. There is more inside of what calls itself Christian in this world that is a lie, that is a perversion, that is a denial of the true Christian faith, than what there is in that which calls itself Christian in the world that is actually Christian. What a danger. And where did that happen? How did it happen? It happened by those who said they were believers and they were Christians, and now pursuing their Christianity, not by the word of God, but by their own interpretations, feelings, emotions, reasonings. All the danger of it. And you think, you know your Bible, how even the New Testament records for us in Matthew, for instance, chapter 16, how Peter himself, a man who would be an apostle, the Lord Jesus said, get it through your head. I've come into the world, and my reason for coming into the world is to go to Jerusalem, to be rejected, to suffer, to die, to be crucified. Get it in your head. That's what I'm here for. The Son of God? The Son of God in the world? I mean, the Son of God in the world. He's the greatest. He's going to have everything. He's going to reign. He's going to be admired. He's going to be revered. He's going to be loved. He's going to be honored. He's going to be worshiped. And he says, get it in your heads. I'm the Son of God. I'm in the world. And I'm in the world and I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be laughed at. I'm going to be murdered and hung on a tree. And Peter himself said, no! No! That's not the truth. That's not what's going to happen to you. I haven't left my everything, my business. I haven't left my life to follow someone who came into this world that I believe is God, that is going to be ultimately spit upon, beaten, and nailed to a cross. No! That's not what I'm in it for. Oh, the horror of it. Thank God for God's word. And thank God for the clear statements of his word. And thank God for God who means what he says and says what he means. And thank God for a God who settled the perfection of his word, the faithfulness of his word, the loyalty of his word, the love of his word, the knowledge of his word, by leaving heaven, becoming human, and then as the only human being that was unlike every other human being, Jesus Christ, God, become human, come into our world, then live out that word, even though it cost him his life. And not just his life, it cost him death. And not just death, but it had to be the death on the cross. And the lovely words of the Savior on the cross, when he had done the last Old Testament prophecy that he needed to fulfill before he could die. And he would not allow himself to die, even though he was on that cross, under that pressure, under that pain, under that humiliation, under that stress, under that anxiety, everything you want, everything Satan could heap upon him to turn him away. And he would not give up his spirit until he had finished the last Old Testament prophetic word that needed to be fulfilled. And when he did it, immediately he cried, "It is finished," and didn't wait one millisecond to give up his spirit. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a word. Oh, what a gospel. There's nothing else to hang your destiny on. There's nothing else to hang your hope on. God's word, God's truth, God's Son. And what an attack is against human beings to never do that. And what an attack is in this world to muddle that truth and confuse the whole thing, to keep people from believing and living by faith, which ultimately the just shall live by faith. And what does it mean to live by faith? It means to live believing God's word, which now tells us this. You cannot live by faith, and everything depends on your faith in God through Jesus Christ the Lord. And you cannot live by faith unless you believe God's word. Think about it. And I hear people, and when I engage people in conversation, they'll tell me stuff like this. Well, you know, I believe in God. Well, good for you. Yeah. Round of applause. Woo! You believe in God. God's word says, well, Satan believes too. He believes in God. You do too? Oh, wonderful. And I hear them say, I believe in God. And not just God. I believe in Jesus. I just don't believe that the Bible is God's word. You deluded fool you. You've been overcome by the great satanic deception. You've come to believe you can know who God is. You can know what God is like. You can know who Jesus Christ is. And your concept of God and your concept of Jesus Christ is based on your reasoning, your feelings, your emotions, and not on God's word. You're in deep, deep excrement. That's what you're in, my friend. Oh, the horror of it. There's a delusion going on. There's a deception going on. And apart from faith in God's word, and ultimately faith that Jesus Christ is the Word become flesh, that Jesus Christ who hung on the cross is the Son of God, you'll never escape that lie. You'll never escape that delusion. And here are human beings. Think of the delusion. I just don't believe the Bible is God's word, but I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus. And they go on in life trying to comfort themselves. When they feel uncomfortable by the preaching of the word of God, you're a sinner. There's a Satan out there. There's a lie out there. There's a power of darkness out there that's bigger than you, greater than you, and you can never overcome without God's word. And yet, people claim to be Christian, claim to know God, claim to believe in Christ, while they say, I just don't believe that God's word is God's word. Horrible, man. There is more in the world that calls itself Christian that is not Christian than there is that is Christian. And I ask you, are you a Christian? Is your Christianity the real thing? And for it to be the real thing, it must be founded, established on your faith in God's word. God's word. Oh, God, help you. And if you see yourself trapped in this confusion, I don't know what the truth is. I don't know what. There's one who does. And it's God. And it's his word. And if you find yourself in that horror of that deception and delusion, it's evidence. God's given you evidence. See? To see yourself for where you're at, cry out to him. Because that's his promise. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall never be ashamed of that choice. But it's a choice you have to make. See, God help you. God help me. I'm saved by God's grace. I received the Lord Jesus. When I called upon him, I found he's alive. He's true. He kept his word. He came to live in me, which is interesting, you know. Some people come to camp, and they come to camp, and I'm at camp because, you know, I want to see if I can get recharged. I want to see if I can get my life right, and those are all good things. Those are good reasons, right? But let me just tell you, you can't take camp home with you. You can't do it, but you can take. Say it for me, bro.
The word of God.
You can take the word of God home with you. And you can take the word become human home with you. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah? So anyway, as we come to this, you'll notice the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Direct attack on God's word. Started mixing the word with truth and a lie snuck in, which is an important concept. Have you ever heard of counterfeit money? I got caught up in that in my old days. But anyway, that's another story. Huh? Counterfeit money, man. I tell you what. You know, when you make counterfeit money, and not just counterfeit money, I'm talking way ahead of you guys' times. You weren't even born then. But back then, there was something called American Express. Say it.
Traveler's check.
Thank you, sir. American Express traveler's check. They were easier to counterfeit than U.S. dollars. I had a bunch of American Express traveler's check. Why were they easier to counterfeit than United States dollars? Anybody want to answer? They were easier to imitate. If you're going to have an effective counterfeit, you've got to make that counterfeit look as close to the real thing as you possibly can. If I brought you, here, I got some traveler's check for you, and on the traveler's check, it didn't say American Express. I've got American Express traveler's check, but now it says on it MasterCard. What would you say? That's not an American Express traveler's check. It doesn't say American Express. It says MasterCard. Counterfeit. Making the lie seem like the real thing. And making the lie and mixing the lie with as much truth as you possibly can while it's still a counterfeit. It's real. And it's real in the spiritual realm as well. And our only protection against that is the guarantee of, is what I believe, is what I'm preaching, is what you're hearing, is it true to God's word? 100% of it. Not just 99.999. Because for something to be the counterfeit, all it needs is just 0.000, however zeros you want to give it, one that is a lie. It corrupts the whole thing. This is Satan. This is how he works. This is what he attacks. This is how he began it all, to take the hearts of man away from God, casting doubt on God's word. Now, not only that, he mixes the truth with a lie, or the lie with as much truth as he possibly can. And then he presents things to the woman. And notice how he presents it to her. He presents it to her in a way she'd never seen it before. Hey? And he has the power to do that. I don't understand it. But later, when the Lord Jesus came here to the world, the first thing he did following his public manifestation at John's baptism, when John declared him to be the Son of God, the Savior, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Here he's come." And now the Lord Jesus, immediately coming up out of the baptism in the Jordan, the Spirit of God came upon him in the form of a dove. And from that moment on, he went forth and he was led of the Spirit of God. And he was always filled with the Spirit of God. And he went out into the wilderness for Satan to tempt him. And Satan came up to him and said to him, "Listen." He showed him all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. And he showed him that in a moment of time. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And showing him that, all the kingdoms of this world and the glory thereof, and Satan knowing that the reason the Lord Jesus Christ had come into this world was for the purpose that those who were trapped in the lie of this world, that those who were trapped in that satanic delusion and darkness might see him for who he is and worship him and believe him and come to him, say, "Lord, I want to be saved." And you're the only Savior. And Satan, knowing that that's the reason why he had come, to win back the hearts of men, said, "All the kingdoms of this world will I give unto you." Is that what you're after? if you will bow down and worship me. And the Lord Jesus responded, it is written in God's word, thou shalt worship the Lord God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he rejected the offer. That was a lie, but yet it had great truth in it. You came to be Lord. You came to be recognized. You came to be made known. You came to have your glory manifested so all people will believe in you. I can do that for you. Christ said, it is not your offer. It is not according to God's word. And for him to establish God's word and fulfill God's word, it would cost him the death of the cross at the hands of Satan. Satan to bring against him all he could to break him so that he would give up his mission to fulfill the word of God. How true is God's word? The Lord Jesus, who is that word, thought that word to be so absolutely crucial and indispensable and needed in the hearts of men who had fallen for the satanic lie from the get-go, that he fulfilled the cost of his dying, the death of the cross. That's the price he paid so that you and I could be saved. Oh, God, help us. So, again, he presents that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and presents it to Eve in a way she'd never looked at that tree like that before, you know. What was the difference? Well, for the first time, she looked at that tree without the word of God. Leave the word of God out of it, and let's analyze the tree. And Satan said, look at the tree without God's word. And now she begins to interpret the value of that tree. And when she saw that the tree was good for food. I mean, God help me. Most of us don't really understand what hunger is, do we? I mean, you know, you get just a little pang of hunger, and what do? You sneeze. Who was that, Raleigh? No, it was Josh. Oh, it was Josh. Well, I tell you. Let me give you a little advice. Whenever you feel pangs of hunger, do what you just did more often than going and eating. Yes. You know, we feel a pang of hunger just a little bit. And immediately, what do we do? Eat. You want to eat, man. You go to the refrigerator, open it, there's the food, you know. Yeah. Anyway. It wasn't like that in the ancient world, you know. In the ancient world, people used to have to work a whole day in order to get money to buy food, to eat. Wow. I don't know how many of us would survive in that ancient world, huh? But that's what she did when she saw that that tree was good for food, good to satisfy our desires, our hunger. What things do you want? And the tree was good for it. And that it was pleasing to the eyes. Isn't that wonderful? Pleasing to the eyes. The way we human beings, you know, make things. Look at the way you dress. Look at the colors. How you match them up. And you match them up because, I mean, dang, dude, you gotta learn to match up colors. Stand up. Dang, dude. Look at that. Oh, what an arrangement that is, man. But how we like that, you know, we, and you know, I mean, us guys, well, it works for us. But somehow it doesn't work for women. I mean, they're into matching colors a lot more than we are. Yeah. Pleasing to the eye. What a wonderful world this is. You look around, even storybook, you know. I get to come here about once a year. Every time I come, I'm fascinated by the beauty of the place. I remember coming here during winter camps. I think it's been 25 years since I've been to a winter camp. But this place in the winter is a winter wonderland. Oh, how God has designed creation. The flowers and the roses and the beauty. Pleasing to the eye. I mean, it's good. You know, people are sick in the hospital. And they're really sick in the hospital. And, they're in trouble. Well, what do you bring people like that in the hospital to cheer them up and encourage them? Not a piece of steak. You give somebody in that condition a piece of steak, and you get that person to eat that piece of steak, and it'll probably do what? Kill them. That's what it'll do. You see? Huh. But you got somebody in the hospital sick and in trouble and discouraged and, you know, old and limping and hurting, kind of like I am. Huh? And what do you bring them? You bring them something that's pleasing to the that lifts the spirit. Yes. And when she saw that it was pleasing to the eye, she decided, what could be wrong with this tree? And finally, and when she saw that the tree was able to give us wisdom, and that raises this question of knowledge. And now we're back to what was that tree called? The tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Wow. Can you imagine that? I can have the wisdom. I can have the knowledge of knowing what choice I make and what its consequences are going to be. And what choice not to make because of what the consequences are going to be. And this tree affords me that ability to have that knowledge of good. And I can choose what's good. And I can see what's evil and reject the evil. Think about that. And that's what she was thinking. All the while, she had decided to look at life. Look at creation. Look at the universe. Look at the tree and interpret it all without God's word. Without God's word. I don't need God's word. I can have the wisdom. I can have the knowledge. If I've got that, I've got it was a new definition of life and the meaning of life. When God himself had said, I am life. I am the source of all life. And the day you think you can have life without me and my word, you will die. Die. It's death. My friends, why am I harping on this? I mean, I haven't even gone past the beginning of Genesis 3, and it's the second day. Because that battle is going on today. It's going on in the whole world. It's going on inside your heart and my heart. It's real. And all the wonder of me in the year 2023 reading from the first pages of the Word of God and what it has to say as to an explanation and a reason for why God, who created and everything he made, was very good. And now I find myself in a world, in a life, even in a body filled with all kinds of things that are not good. And it's all revolving around God's word. Anyway, knowledge. Here's where I want to go. Knowledge. And we saw the effects of it. The effects of going for knowledge. Going for knowledge without God. And look what it brought them. Nakedness. No different than animals around. This stuff going around nowadays, you know, this whole thing with the craziness of pronouns. My goodness, man. I mean, and not only with the craziness of pronouns, and you can't use pronouns, and now you've got these young people, I don't know what else to call them. I guess some old people got their heads up their yin-yang just as bad, too. Who knows what they're doing? But they show up to school dressed as a cat. I've decided to be a cat. Meow.
Amen, Henry.
Meow. Meow. Dude, we're dealing with human beings. Supposedly intelligent people. I mean, you know, we laugh, isn't it? We laugh. But we laugh because, yeah, there's a sense in which it's so bizarre, it's funny. But not that funny if you're dealing with the problem, you know. And I remember when I was 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, I was dealing with some deep stuff inside of me with all these questions of why am I here? Who am I? What's my identity? What's my name? Well, I knew my name, and I said, but my name, what's the meaning to me? Why is there this person here whose name is Enrique Septimio Sardiña y González? They call me Henry, by the way.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah. But what is the significance of my name? Who am I? What am I? Oh, the horror of it. Anyway, as you see, this quest for knowledge, and again, what happens with the knowledge, it causes them to now, they hear the voice of the Lord. And they hear the voice of the Lord. And notice, you know, let's say you own the factory. And you own that factory, and you're the CEO and the owner of that factory, and the whole thing blows up. If it was me, I'd be like, oh my goodness, oh. I mean, I'd be freaking out. And if I thought you're the one that lit the fire, I'd be coming after you with a, I'm looking right at you, Carter. I'd be coming after you with a, to blow you apart. Here's God's masterpiece in creation. The human being, let us make man after our image and our likeness. Let him have dominion. Let him have all the works of my hand. Let me have relationship with man. Let him know how good I am. Let me know everything I want to do for him, for her. And now the whole thing blows up, and God blows up because they want more knowledge, you know. I don't want to have to depend on God. I want control. Oh, that problem about wanting to be in control. I want control, you know. I want the knowledge to be in control. I don't like this. I mean, having to depend on God to be faithful? I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel I've got control. No, you don't. But, you know, don't let me shock you into fear, but this universe you live in, you ain't got control of it either. And this universe that you live in is full of all kinds of dangers and hostile forces and powers. In fact, if I could have spoken to you before you came and you were created, I would have told you, hey, if you have any say in the matter, maybe you shouldn't come. Because this world is a dangerous place. Control. And here they go for knowledge. And the whole thing blows up. And how do you see God? How's he presented? He's walking. Very peaceful. He's not freaking out. Wow. You know what God knew already? And God knew it even before he created anything. That in order to guarantee his purposes for creation, his son, he himself, would have to become human, would have to come into our world, and would have to be crucified on a cross. He knew that. He knew that then. Wow. This is God, you know. And he comes out walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And he finds Adam, what? Hiding from God's word. You know, that word of God that you've been under the sound of and that's being spoken, it can make you uncomfortable. It pierces inside of us. It challenges us, you know. And the first defense mechanism is to deflect it. And what's the first defense mechanism in deflecting the word of God? Well, I don't believe the Bible is God's word. Oh, I feel safer now. I don't like that pressure of God's word exposing me, my thoughts, who I am, my choices. Am I a believer or am I a rebel, rejecter? Huh? This is God, faithfulness of God. Bottom line is that this whole thing happened and God finds man hiding. What will it cost God and what will it take for God to convince man to stop hiding and to come out from hiding and expose himself in God's presence for who he is? What will it take? How will God do it? And the simple answer to that is the cross of Jesus Christ. And at that cross of Jesus Christ, God exposes me for what I am and what the whole world is in their hatred of God, and in man and man's inexhaustible ability to do everything he can to shut God up. And he murdered his son and hung him on a tree, thinking we've got rid of him forever. We don't have to deal with him again. That cross now that exposes me for what I am, what is its provision to get me to come out from hiding? Well, the one who hung on that cross is God himself. Become human. And God himself become human, nailed to that cross by my hatred and hanging there to pay the debt I could not pay, to demonstrate his loyalty, his commitment, his faithful love to me because I'm his creature. And to what depths he would be willing to go and suffer to break that darkness, to reach me in my hiding place. And because of his love for me and what he's still willing to do for me, get me to believe and come out of that hiding and say, oh God, I believe. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Oh God, save me, Lord Jesus. Save me. And the promise of the crucified one is, whoever comes to me, I will never reject you. Come. Come out of hiding. Anyway, I'll close, and I have to close, but this is the first promise at that moment that God made. when Adam and the woman went for knowledge, knowledge is power. I can be free. And they weren't free. And God says to that knowledge, here's a creature that swung for knowledge to be free of God. God wasn't threatened. He wasn't threatened by it. It wasn't a threat to the Almighty. Huh? And at that point, he says to Adam, Adam, you wanted knowledge? You wanted knowledge, Adam. Well, look at my knowledge, Adam. Look at my knowledge, Adam. Adam, I will put enmity between thee, that is Satan, and the woman, and between Satan's seed in mankind, and that thinking, no God, no word of God, and her seed. Her seed would be that the Lord Jesus, the word of God, the second person of the Trinity, would become human and come into our world. And I would put enmity between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head. That's a crushing blow. Christ would destroy Satan, ultimately. And yet, he couldn't do it without letting Satan bruise his heel at the cross. You know what God was saying to Adam? Look at my knowledge, Adam. Before I ever made you, I knew what you would do. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you've done something that you're so freaked out, it's so disastrous, and you sit there and you go, I wish the earth would open up and swallow me alive because I've ruined it. Oh, what have I done? There's no hope. There's no hope. And you can imagine that man, Adam, at that moment, naked, ashamed, hiding. What have I done? And God says, Adam, I knew it. I knew everything. I know everything from the beginning to the end. I know what you would do. And I knew that you would do something that would put you in a position where you were hopeless and impotent without ability to fix it. You're doomed. And before I ever made you, I also created the woman. And look at her body, Adam. I designed it in such a way that me knowing what you do and what the problem was, that only I could fight that serpent. Only I could fight that lie. Only I could win this battle and save you from the disaster. I designed her body in such a way that I, your creator, your God, could become human. And through her body, I could come into the world to do for you what you couldn't do. The Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word became flesh, was born of a woman, was born of a virgin. And oh, thank God for the Lord Jesus and the battle he waged. He's the only Son of God. There's no one else like him. He has come. He has fought the fight. He has triumphed over death and destroyed the devil who had the power of death. And he came out alive with the authority to forgive and save and lead everyone who trusts him out of this ruin of sin through this world. And ultimately, to heaven forever and ever and ever. Oh, what a God is this God. Blessed be his knowledge. Blessed be his faithfulness. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Father, we give you thanks. Help. Father, every heart at this moment, whatever the fear is, whatever the things are by which they are hiding, the excuses that we make because we're hurting or we've got this problem, all excuse to bring in a distraction to take us away from having to face ourselves and facing you and facing the claims of your word. Oh, Father, reach into the heart and save this morning, we pray. Bring us out of darkness into your marvelous light through the person of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.